Panchanga. Right. So Panchanga, and Panchanga is something that I'm a big proponent of in many ways. This chapter is more how to use the Panchanga in a birth chart. I don't know where it is now with the new website. I have to make sure that it gets up there, but there used to be a video that was just about using the Panchanga for daily activities.
Because I was looking at 15 today for the video, there's 2011, 2010, and there was something like extra, but it wouldn't let me click on it at the time.
That's just the upgrade happening.
But maybe that's where it is.
Maybe. Let's see if it might even still be there with the. It was Vedic calendar. No, Vedic planner.com took you there, but it was the same site as the Science of Light. Let's see where it goes. So on that page, and it should be working. If it's not working right now, it should be working soon. There's a little video about the Panchanga. Oh, it's still there. Yay. All right. So if you just type in vedicplanner.com, that'll take you to the site that's still active and has a little video on there. And the video is different than what we're going to talk about in class. But on there is a calendar. And you can download this calendar. And it looks like... if you haven't seen it, it looks like this. And it has all the days. You've seen this, yeah? Anybody seen it here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It has all the information of the moon's movements and the planetary movements and the solar movements. And somebody wrote something in the chat. All right. Yes. Okay. And let's see. So the reason that we're jumping into this chapter is because even though the information I give at the end in this book, because just for the way a reading works and for utilizing the information, it's something that, you know, I give at the end, for teaching it as a class, we want to be using that calendar right now. Why wait till later to find out about what the moon phases are and stuff? So we want to learn about that now while we're in class so that we can be all on the same page with what is today. Today is the Pratima. It's the day after the full moon. And we can understand what full moon and new moon and all that kind of stuff is and what it means, and so that we're all on the page and we can be utilizing it as we're studying the information. Panchanga means five. It's connected to the five elements. And the five elements make up everything in the world. What do we talk about? Those who know some Ayurveda are already familiar with the five elements. And the Vedya learns to watch the five elements in nature to understand how they work in the body. This is based on the concept that we are a microcosm, which is reflective of the macrocosm. So when we're talking about the elements here, we're taking these elements, earth, water, fire, air, not to the fact that, you know, water, I peed a few minutes ago before class started. There is water. Like, we're not looking on that physical level here. We're looking at water. What's the essence of water? Water's connected to Venus, right? And Venus is about love and connection, and it's juicy, juicy. Venus is juicy. Mm-hmm. And so that juiciness, that water, that's connection, that's love. You know, when you're in a juicy relationship, it's yummy, right? When the relationship is dry and cold, like, what's a dry relationship?
No fun.
There's a lack of Venus there, right? So we have an inherent kind of understanding of how these elements work. Prithvi, earth element, is related to work. And it's connected to Mercury. Fire, Agni. And those who know Ayurveda, this is already a general understanding, but Agni is all about the health and the maintenance of the body and the body's constitution. Then we have Vayu, air, which is connected to Saturn. And here we're really looking at the realm of prana and the flow of prana. And then we have Jupiter, Akash. What's Akash have to do? Who remembers from the beginning?
Holds a space for relationships.
The space. Relationships, it holds the space. Is it good space? Is it bad space? How are we connected? You know, what's the space between us?
I have a question.
Yes.
Freedom.
Yes.
Regarding Guru. Because Guru is also heavy.
Uh-huh.
In Ayurveda. And then it is Akash.
Uh-huh.
As well, space.
Yeah.
So that's sort of like, you know, heavy and spacious. It is kind of contradictory there, isn't it?
So the thing is, spaciousness doesn't mean empty. If we look, at the hand, which finger takes up the most space?
The thumb, and I know that that's Akash or Ether.
Uh-huh. So it's, by being space, it's being the most present. If we look at Jupiter, he's the most present planet. Of all the planets, he's the biggest. And it doesn't mean he's the densest. But he's definitely taking up the most space, and he has the largest gravity. They say that when comets come through, like if ever some weird comet comes into our solar system, that it'll be attracted by the gravity of Jupiter, and Jupiter will actually save the Earth.
Okay, that helps a lot, because Jupiter is mainly gaseous, but the fact that it has the densest gravity, that helps to reconcile the heaviness and the spaciousness.
And when we look at the Akash body type, and so most of you know Vata Pitta Kapha, you've studied three element, tree dosha Ayurveda, but there's Panchamahabhuta Ayurveda, has five elements, and the Akash element is generally tall and slightly overweight.
Hmm.
And they have big nostrils. Not always, but that's what the scripture says. And the people who practice tree dosha Ayurveda, they call that
Vata Kapha, probably.
They call it Vata Kapha, but they say it's Kapha that's been aggravated by Vata.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Those type of people that they're tall and they seem to have a more Vata frame, but they're heavy set.
Mm-hmm.
So in the tree dosha, they say, oh, well, the Vata has exacerbated the Kapha. Mm-hmm. This air element is making there be more water element. But what's actually happening is it's Akash Tattva, making them be more space. So they're tall because they're tall because that takes up more space, and they're big this way because it takes up more space, and they're just, yeah, you know, they're just taking up more space. Look, I got my hands out like this. I'm just taking up space. Anybody hear of something called power positions?
Mm-hmm.
Power positions are the more space you take up. hands out, big body spread, open, means you're safe, so you're secure, you have good space and nothing to, you know. Power position means good Akash. It thereby lets the sun be strong. Say again?
That walk into a room, I'm sure we've all known people like this, and they walk into a room and just their presence like fills the room. Like they take up space just by being there.
Yep, they take up a lot of space.
Yeah, okay.
So that's Jupiter. He's big, he's heavy. And heavy doesn't mean like dense in the same way. It means that, you know, it's more present. There's more presence showing up. Right. So we got that and that. What else do we got here? All right. So everything I was saying is right there on the next page. So Mars. So there's five elements of time. And let's talk about those five elements of time. So why isn't there not the sun and moon here? Why only five elements? What happened to the sun and the moon?
That's your question. Their soul and mind.
I would say something similar. I mean, I feel like God and goddess.
Okay.
The sun and the moon represent the soul. They're not elemental.
Okay.
This is... They're limbs of the sun and moon.
Mm-hmm. They're limbs of the sun and moon. So they're limbs of the god and goddess. They're limbs of the soul and mind. Just as the body is a vehicle of the soul and mind. So time is created by... And in the very first chapter, the very first exercise in the first chapter is to watch the moon rise. And it's to get this relationship between the sun and the moon. And how that relationship between the sun and the moon, you know, as the phases change, it's changing its angle to the sun. So you're getting a concept of where the sun is and where the moon is, and basically when you're what time of day it is, you're looking at where the sun is. And then what phase, you're looking at where the moon is relative to that. So that different placement of the moon at the different times is making the phases. It's that angle. So all time is being controlled by the sun and the moon. So the sun and the moon are the root of all time. And so then when we look at that, okay, so they just created time. The sun, he's making the days, right? Just by we're the ones spinning, but from a visual perspective, the sun's movement is creating the day. He comes up, the day started, he goes down, the day's done. And the month is being created by the moon. You know, we just had Buddha Purnima yesterday. So it was the Buddha's full moon yesterday. And so that was a month, and so now another month is happening. The month has 30 days because of the 29 point odd numbers that is in the moon cycle. So the day is created by the sun, the month is created by the moon, then the year is based upon the sun's movement, right? And that whole year is being divided into 12 parts by the moon.
I've read that in there today, so the moon takes 12, they mirror each other perfectly, so 12 months to go through 30 degrees for the sun,
mm-hmm.
and then for the moon, 30 days to go through the 12 signs,
mm-hmm.
so they're like perfect.
They're perfect.
Mirrors.
They're perfect. And in their perfection, they make all time. And in that time, we live. So the fact that we evolved on this planet is the fault of the sun and the moon and the frequencies that they're creating on this planet. The harmonic, you guys all know about the 108 harmonic between the sun and the moon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, your mind does.
The you look at the diameter of the Earth, that's how it, and times that by 108, and that's how far we are from the Sun. You take the diameter of the Moon, times that by 108, and that's how far away the Moon is from the Earth. And in that 108 frequency, they look the same in the sky. So they're both perceived as the same size, even though they're these completely different distance, but it's because of that diameter being that 108 frequency away. And when I first heard that 108, I was like, oh, I don't know about that. That someone's making that up. So I got on NASA and did all the research and looked and did everything, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's true. For real.
It's real.
It's real. And, you know, with the realm of fake knowledge we live in, the fake news, and I mean, there's people that post things about the coming eclipse, and it's like, no, there's no eclipse this month, or oh, there's, I mean, the stuff that people post, you never know what to believe. But it's true, that 108 diameter. So it's this magical harmonic, and yeah, so the Sun and the Moon are creating time. And then the limbs of that time are the five elements. They are the body that time takes. And so we're looking at time as we have the day. And the day is connected to health, vitality, strength, protection. It's particularly the Agni, it's the digestion. It's the power of the digestion. If you have a strong Agni, you're a healthy person, right? If the Agni's not strong, you have ama. You have toxins in the body. You're not feeling well. Your body's not doing well. It doesn't develop strong. The air element is Saturn, and Saturn is connected to the nakshatras. How many... So Saturn's connected to the nakshatras, and the nakshatra is connected to the prana, and prana doesn't have the proper dots and lines on it there. I gotta make a note. I'm always finding little stuff like that, like, you know, to be a perfectionist is so hard when you're doing it like this. Page 382, prana. Prana should have a line over the first A and a dot under the end. So it's pra-na. Prana. Prana. No? I need your pens. I'm penful.
I'm penful. So
look at how many pens I got. Look at that.
Pentiful.
I'm pentiful. And why does that matter? Because we want to be saying it properly, right? Robbie. So we have prana. And so pranic disease. What's the difference between Agni disease and pranic disease?
Mind.
Tell
causal
me more.
Body.
Causal? Mm. Is it causal?
I'm thinking energy in mind.
Yeah? Is energy, though, in the causal?
No.
You sure?
No.
It's an important differentiation. You know, we really want to know the Sri Sharira philosophy. Physical body, we all get what that is. We got hearts and, like, bile and... phlegm, and you know, we got it. You know, if it's a wart on your arm, then you know it's physical body. You cut your foot, it's physical body. Where's the prana? In the three body system.
In the breath.
In the breath, but in the three body system. Physical, subtle, causal.
What's between the two lower ones?
Dhatus?
That's physical, dhatus.
Nadis?
Where are the nadis?
In the subtle body.
In the subtle body. So the prana's in the subtle body. So when you do five koshas, it's a different, but when you're in the tree sharira, Trishura, three body verse Pancha Kosha. So the five, you're looking at the coverings, these the five containers. Kosha is like a container. Sharira is a body, it's an embodiment. You know, this thing that, like, you can touch it, it's there. So there's a slight difference when, and so they're different systems. What's that mean? Welk Boke. Ian?
Sorry, this is Dutch.
Oh, okay. Prana. So prana's in the subtle body. Where's Agni? In the physical body. So the vara has to do with the physical body. The prana has to do with the health of the subtle body. Now, if somebody has an ulcer from worrying, is that in the physical body or the subtle body?
Physical.
It's manifesting in the physical, but where's the root? It's in the subtle. They're worrying. So it's a pranic imbalance. Because that worry it's prana-based. Where if they have a cut or something, what if they have, let's see, low immunity? Low immunity is a tough one because that could be either. Karmic. It's all karmic. Come on, we're astrologers. Karma is king in this room. Let's see, a good disease. Oh, I was just writing about it today. Depression. Is depression if depression makes you tired, you don't have enough energy to do things, you have a hard time getting out of bed. What else does depression do to you? It kills your appetite.
Libido.
Kills your libido.
Willpower.
Kills your willpower.
Both. If you had developed.
But for us, where is it rooted? In the realm of Jyotish, we care about the root.
So in the nakshatra.
It's in the nakshatra. It's in the subtle body. That depression is impacting the mind, and then the mind is killing the energy to the body. Mm-hmm. What are symptoms of anemia?
Low iron.
Huh?
Low iron.
That's what it is. But what's the symptoms?
Fatigue.
Bruising, dizziness. And if it's coming from anemia, that is rooted where? In the physical. So fatigue doesn't tell us anything. You know, fatigue, it's just a symptom. It doesn't actually, like, you know, the fatigue from anemia is physical based. The fatigue from depression is causal body based.
Or subtle body.
Subtle body based. So we got that little bit of difference there going on? And so that's the difference between the nakshatra and the vara.
Okay.
Pretty cool differentiation, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Tithi. Love and passion. Desires. And the realm of relationship. Karana is career, work, things of that nature. And yoga, you know, that person that nobody wants to hang out with. And even in, you know, growing up in school, there's always those few people that, like, they're just, it's like they can't make friends. And it's like, you feel bad for them and you want to be their friend, but, like, it's like, you can't, you know, it's the difficulty there. That's the yoga. Their yoga is there's something wrong with their yoga.
Unless it's their benefit. There's other things going on, right? Obviously, because this is more time.
Hey, what's going on? The time you were born?
It's all time. Time is the time puts the crown on karma. Karma's king, and the king is crowned by time. All right, so we will do vara today, and let's see. Do I say anything special here? Everybody knows Vara, right? Sunday, Sun, Monday, Moon, Tuesday, Mars, Mardi, Wednesday, Mercury, which is Woden's day, who's the same as Mercury. Thursday is Thor's day, who's the same as Jupiter. And the interesting thing about Thor being Jupiter is the Adi Devata of Jupiter in the old school Vedic tradition is Indra. And Indra holds the lightning bolt. And so there's the similarity between the old school Jupiter and the old school Jupiter Indra and the Thor connection. And in the mythology of Thor, if you look at the hall where Thor hangs out and all the warriors that come and all the stories that go with that, you'll find a lot of similarity with Indra in the old Vedic texts. The more Jupiter elements that you see most people talk about, even though Brihaspati is in the Vedic texts, it's a little bit more the Puranic view of Jupiter. All right, so let's see. So we all got that for the days of the week, right? Friday is Freya, and Saturday is Saturn. Fire element, general strength, and the general strength and vitality of the person. If you know Ayurveda, then for me to say general strength and vitality is such an understatement. You know, whether they have a strong Agni and have as an inherent Agni or not. And so that's showing their vitality. And it shows so much more, but what can we translate that into English as, right? If it's weak, there's toxins in the system. And if it's strong, that there's protection, right? You could eat, what can a person with a strong Agni eat?
Whatever they want.
And a person with weak Agni?
Not so much.
It all makes them sick, you know? They got all kinds of problems. And that strong Agni leads to strong Ojas. Bottom of page 382 of this version says, if the Vara Lord is poorly placed in a natal chart, the Agni will tend to be weak and there will be problems related to Ama and improper formation of the Dhatus. And so that's the thing, the Dhatus are formed. Dhatus are the muscles, the skin, the, you know, all these physical things that make up our physical body are being formed by the digestion. Alright, so... And so the Vedic day starts at sunrise. So let's see, if we look in, and I think it was Jessica's chart. Yeah, if we look at Jessica, she's born at 3. So in the afternoon. Who's born early morning?
That's not me.
What wasn't you? Oh, that was the, okay. You were born at 9:43. I went before, say again. Somebody born after midnight before sunrise.
6:47.
That's
right after sunrise.
So I was born at 2:28 a.m.
So if we look at Dan, 2:20 a.m. Okay, we'll do yours next. So if we look at Dan's chart, he's born July 9th. And if we look on Jehora, you'll see in the page that has basics, you can scroll down and it'll say sunrise. So on the day that Dan was born, sunrise was at 5:41. And Dan was born at 6:47. And so he was born on a Tuesday. And everybody considers that Tuesday. But now if we look at Sarah's chart. And so Sarah was born at 2:28 a.m. So from the Western perspective, 2:28 a.m. is, let's see, what is it? 2:28 a.m. is Thursday. So her birth certificate, if we looked at it, if they wrote the day, would have said Thursday, 2:28, February 28th, because it's after midnight. But Vedic Thursday doesn't start till sunrise. So from a Vedic perspective, she's still Wednesday.
Interesting.
Got that little difference going on?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 6-hour difference.
Well, what does that mean for our interpretation of things?
So this chart will always tell us what the Vedic day is.
Okay.
When we look at Jehora, Jehora gives us the Vedic day. But what happens is, let's say your friend has a kid and he's born on, you know, Thursday late night. They're going to be like, oh, he was born on Thursday. And you're going to, well, Vedic Wednesday. You know, and you don't have to tell them, but that's what you look at in the chart, even though they say Thursday.
Okay.
So that's the implication. So we got Sarah's chart open, and she was born on a Wednesday. So let's look at Mercury in her chart. What's going on with that Mercury?
Retrograde in the third.
Sun is 15, Mercury is 27. Are they combust?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Very minimally.
Yeah.
It's 12 degrees apart, right?
Yeah.
And because it's Mercury's higher, does that mean that she's past it in numbers? Does that mean she's in, like, the purified side?
Most likely, but it's retrograde, so it's headed back.
Right.
But that's less important than something else going on. Who's aspecting that Mercury?
Mars.
Mars and?
Jupiter.
And?
Saturn.
And Rahu. So we got Rahu, Mars, and Jupiter aspecting. So Jupiter's, we learned Jupiter makes things strong when he aspects, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Rahu and Mars are creating some difficulty. So do we have a constitution that never gets sick? No, she has her Agni. She's got to work on it. There's going to be health stuff going on, right?
Occasionally.
You get cold. You get colds. You get, you know, run down, things of that nature. Yes.
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't because the 10th house lord is Mercury? Does that give her any more strength?
Nah. Just where Mercury is. Let's see. Let's jump to Dan's chart. Dan was born on Tuesday. Mars. Now, is it bad to be born on Tuesday? Mars is a malefic. Does that make him mean?
No. Not for Cancer rising.
Does that make him mean that he's born on a Tuesday? Ravi's laughing with me. I'm glad somebody loves my humor. Is he mean because he was born on Tuesday? Come on, yes or no?
No, absolutely not.
Does that have anything to do whether he's nice or mean?
He's pleased.
What are we looking at with the day?
How the planet, the lord of the day is doing.
But what are we? Health. We're looking at health.
Yeah.
We're not looking at nice or not nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So we got to be clear. You know, the thing is. People get confused that there's all this stuff when they aren't clear about what to look at for what.
Right.
So, I mean, if he's got Jupiter and Mercury in Lugna. You think a Jupiter and Mercury in Lugna is going to be mean? No, he's not mean. He's a nice guy with Jupiter and Mercury. He's everybody's friend. Everybody loves him with that Jupiter and Mercury in Lugna, right? Who's your enemy? Dan?
I don't know.
There are, you know, like, everybody gets along with them.
Exalted.
And if they're not getting along, Dan makes them be friends. That's Jupiter and Mercury in the Lugna there. Okay? So, Tuesday, that's not going to make him mean. It has nothing to do with whether he's mean or nice. There's other things we look at for that. But what do we look at relative to Tuesday?
Health.
Good health.
What about health? How do we see it?
By the strength of the Lord.
Uh-huh. So go
Mars.
For it. Which is Mars.
It's with Venus.
Uh-huh.
That's nice. So it's aspected by Rahu.
Aspected by Rahu, but it's with Venus, so it's a malefic aspect and a benefic conjunction.
Mm-hmm. And then,
Lord's in the 12th?
Lord's in the 12th, Marna Kargastana. So that's not good. But what does Mars like, Leo?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the sun.
Okay.
And it's extreme friendly.
Exactly. So it's in a friendly sign, and it's with a benefic. It has a malefic aspect, and it has the Lord being Marna Kargastana. So he's going to get sick sometimes. There's going to be, you know, he doesn't have perfect health, but overall he's pretty lucky. Everybody else is getting colds, and he does pretty good. Mm-hmm. The Lord's Marna Kargastana, so the only time he gets sick is when he's officially not supposed to get sick. when he needs to not get sick, he'll get sick because of the Marna Kargastana. But otherwise, he's pretty good. How's that sound, Dan?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. And those of you who've listened to this, normally I pick on the skinniest, scrawniest person in the classroom. And we go into theirs because they're the skinniest, scrawniest kind of person. They normally have an afflicted Vara Lord. It's just the nature. Mm-hmm. And then you look at somebody who's got a good, strong, healthy constitution, bright glow to them, and they generally have a strong Vara Lord. Let's see. Caroline. Let's look at Caroline's Vara Lord. Caroline... the Day Lord is Mercury. Does that mean she's super friendly? Mm-mm. Does it mean she's super friendly?
No.
We're not looking at that.
Okay. I'm just being sure, you know? Because if there's people that they say, oh my gosh, I was born on Saturday, that's so horrible. But that's not what we're... That doesn't matter, right? What matters is where Saturn, if they're born on Saturday. It's not horrible or not horrible. If Saturn is exalted and aspected by Jupiter and Mercury and they're born on Saturday, lucky them. Okay. So let's just be clear about that. Caroline was born on Wednesday. What's going on with her Agni? Her health and vitality.
I look at the house alone.
We look at everything.
So it's aspected by Rahu and Venus. And Ketu.
Okay, Rashi Drishti. But Rashi Drishti don't curse it, so.
So the Lord goes to the fifth house.
Well placed. So is she healthy or not?
Healthy.
You know, what about the fact that it's in the eighth house?
So yeah, doesn't that show about this where though, if she is going to have health issues, doesn't the placement show where in her body it would manifest, especially with the eighth house?
We're learning. What do you think? The eighth house does the Vara Lord show where she gets sick?
Just how healthy you are.
Exactly. So we don't predict what the disorders are based on Vara Lord. Okay? Mm-hmm. Just the overall strength. And so if the Vara Lord's not well, then we look at what's wrong in the chart, and that's going to be coming out. If the Vara Lord is strong, then there's going to be some health there. There's, you know, okay, there's this problem. You know, not till they're 70 is that going to be a problem. If Vara Lord is weak, you know, maybe in their 30s they're going to have that. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just, big thing in California is uterine and cervix cancer. So somebody has an afflicted Venus and a malefic in the seventh house. When are they going to have... When is that going to turn into a cancer and be a problem?
Like a Venus doctor.
We got to look at how strong their constitution is. They got a strong constitution, it's not going to bother them till late in life. They have a weak constitution, we got to be careful. You see what's okay? So what's this eighth house? Is the eighth house doing anything?
It's a Dustana.
Uh-huh. So, what's it mean?
That would be, if anything, that's the weakness for her.
All right. So it's conjunct Jupiter. Jupiter's protecting it. It's not cursed. No graha drishtis, no malefic graha drishtis, but it is the eighth house. So it's relatively good, but there's going to be some strange, you know, eighth house stuff possible, right? There's going to be some eighth house gives strange, unexplained health-related things. So in general, it's good, except for that weird stuff that comes along. Mm-hmm. That makes no sense. Let's see. Let's do... Anybody have a dying desire to look at their Vara Lord?
You can look at mine.
Ian. All right. Okay, we look at Ian's, he was born on a Saturday. He's part of the Saturn Club. Is that horrible? Is it terrible?
Depends.
Is he gonna die? Does he have terrible diseases because he's born on Saturday?
Mine,
I'm picking
probably.
On her on purpose because she's born on Saturday. She was worried about being born on Saturday, so I gotta
it's
pick on her a little bit.
With Rahu and Mars. Sorry.
Yeah. So talk to me about this guy Saturn.
With Venus.
So is there Lord rising? We don't look at Lord. We okay. In the house. So there's just a benefic with the...
It's conjunct the benefic.
Mm-hmm. So Sag, Jupiter is in the 10th house.
Jupiter's not
fixed. No aspect though.
So is he healthy or not?
I mean, he's pretty healthy. He's just Venus. In fifth. It's in his house. It's Jupiter is the Lord.
Moon, Mars, trying?
Does trying matter? You guys trying to find health problems here?
He looks pretty good.
Looks overall, there's a good Agni there, right? So when he comes to you, is health going to be his main issue?
No.
So this is the big thing. The Panchanga is going to tell us the main issues that the person we need to look at. So, you know, you're looking at the chart, the person comes tomorrow, and you know, particularly you guys at this stage, it's going to take you 5 hours to figure out that chart, and they're coming, and you only got four. So you're going to have to, like, something you're going to cut. Would you maybe cut health out in his case?
Yeah.
We might not go into health for him. Because it looks pretty good, right? Okay. And we got 8 minutes left, so I don't want to start anything new. Is there any famous person that you can think of that has weird health stuff all the time?
Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox.
All right. Stephen Hawking. He's kind of like, oh, that.
Yeah. You showed us before. I just had a question with Trump. His move, he's born on an eclipse.
Michael J. Fox.
Kind of famous.
Yeah, let's not talk about Trump. I'm just hoping, you know, my prediction that he'd be president was right. I'm just hoping that my second prediction turns out.
As right.
That he just turns out to not be as bad as we all thought.
That's your prediction.
Yeah, okay. That, you know, he has a change of heart and starts doing, and he does some good stuff. But, like, I don't know. I'm starting to doubt myself. He's in Jupiter. I'm like, the thing is, I said he'd be doing good things, but what's his concept of good?
Right.
like, what is his, like, he when if Trump thinks he's going to do a good thing,
he was born on an eclipse, though, right?
What's that mean? Yeah, he was born on an eclipse.
So then, yeah, what does that mean?
I haven't known Trump.
But do we look at that for health?
For
that's for Tithi. Mm. Oh. Michael J., I'm looking for Fox right now.
We should do someone else. He just has
Michael Sam Fox, Michael J. Fox.
Nice.
So I got June 9th, 1961, 15 minutes past midnight, so 0:15, when I don't have the place. All of you should know there's a website called Astro Data Bank. And Astro Data Bank has all the famous people that we know, their charts, it's there. And when elections happen, if they can find the data of the presidents or anybody running, they post it up there. And there's people who, like Astro Data Bank, it was founded by this woman who's since passed on, but they really worked and they went to the hospital and looked for birth certificates and looked, you know, they really worked hard to make sure that it was accurate. And they have a whole thing, let's even see, with Astro Data Bank. Oh my gosh, I type in Astro Data Bank and it says Astro Data Bank and then it says Astro Data Bank Donald Trump. That's what people are searching. My goodness. So you see there's a lot of people that they're like, what is going on with this guy's chart? And
where did you come from?
Let's see if we do Fox. So I'm just gonna search Fox. I hope I'm searching in the right place. Michael J. Fox. So if you look at his chart, it says, so if you go to Astro Data Bank, Michael J. Fox, it says it has a Rodin rating of A. And it says the source is from memory, but it's giving it an A, which means that, you know, it, and I've never, normally from memory doesn't get an A. But there must be some reason when they were talking that the person's like, oh no, the bells were ringing when the baby came. Something that makes it so that, okay, yes, it's the A rating means they're sure of it. And when you look at different ones, it'll change what this, and sometimes you'll see it's a D rating. You don't get too serious about the, maybe it's the chart, maybe it's not. Somebody's like, oh, I think it's around A, you know, it's a D. So, all right, so then when we look at his chart, he's got Saturn, Jupiter, and the Lugna, and
Mars.
Just like our, just like Obama. And he was born on a Thursday. All right. So let's analyze that.
That's Saturn. Mars is Grahi, Drishti.
So it's a cursed Jupiter? Mm-hmm. And it's in its sign of debilitation. And there's a bunga happening, but it's still, its root nature is debilitated.
Mm-hmm. And the Lord is of the first house.
And that's and the Lord is Marna Karkastana. So the Jupiter is conjunct, it's not just cursed, it's conjunct the Marna Karkastana planet. Mm-hmm. In its debilitation sign. Mm-hmm. It's not doing well. Mm-hmm. So you see, that what a good chart. That's why I said let's just randomly pick. It's not exalted with benefics. Like this doesn't look like Dan's or Ian's Daylord.
Yeah.
Here there's afflictions, and so we see. But is that what's causing his Parkinson's? No. It's just saying that the Agni's weak, and that this certain genetic stuff and environmental stuff, it's going to impact him and come out. Mm-hmm. His body's not going to be able to fight it, mm-hmm. to the level that, and so. The Varlord being weak and afflicted is allowing whatever issues to come out of the chart and afflict the person.
Mm. There's potential in everyone's chart,
exactly.
How strong Varlord
exactly.
is not.
It's less. Really and it's like the difference between somebody needing a hysterectomy when they're in their 30s versus having uterine cancer when they're 74 that kills them.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question.
Yes.
Freedom.
Yes.
So I was born on a Friday, so that's Venus.
Uh-huh.
And my Venus is in the 8th.
Okay.
Well, I have two questions, actually. The first one is, Dan and I were talking about this, and we wanted to clear it up. When we were doing curses and blessings,
uh-huh.
We were talking about curses, and my 8th house, Saturn, is giving an aspect, and Rahu is giving an aspect. And I think Dan has something similar like that for his second house.
For his second, or for the Vara Lord?
No. This is a previous question, right? Okay. This is something that we both wanted to clear up.
Yep.
So when we were doing that, Ian said that because it's not a fire and an air, because Rahu and Saturn are two air elements,
mm-hmm.
that's not technically a curse. But then Dan mentioned that it's sitting with the sun. Sun's in the eighth house, and technically sun is fire element.
Yeah.
So that would construe a curse. And he has something similar in his chart as well. So we were just studying a few days ago, and we had that question. That was the first thing I wanted to ask about, to clear up. Is that, would that, if a fire is in that house and an air is aspecting it, would that still be construed a curse, or is it only when a fire and an air is aspecting it?
So
not being in the same house.
So the difference just becomes whether you call it a curse or not.
Okay.
It's still afflicted.
Okay.
You know, that whether it's a curse or there's all these different Sanskrit terminologies, but for general purposes, it's that sun allows those two malefic aspects to ignite.
Okay, so now going back to the Day Lord, right? So that's Venus being in a Dushthana house.
Let me give you a little fine detail here, and so there's a big debate with curses: is do we consider the sun malefic or not?
Mildly.
You know, can the sun create a curse?
No, and, I don't think so.
Well, some people say it does, and some people say it doesn't. Some people think it's only Mars, Saturn, and Rahu that can cause curses. So that's one belief. Some say that Saturn, Mars, Rahu, Ketu can all cause curses. So that's this other side of the spectrum. To me, Ketu doesn't cause curses. To me, the sun, and this is my personal opinion that kind of falls in between the two schools, and my opinion is that the sun doesn't cause a curse on its own, but when we have a situation like this Rahu, Saturn, both aspecting, at some point in time, that sun will ignite it.
Okay, that makes sense.
But it depending which system you want to follow, it's called a curse or not a curse. And I choose to not call it a curse. But here in yours, you have both Saturn and Rahu aspecting.
Yeah.
And so without the Agni Graha, it would be considered an affliction, not a curse. But the sun is igniting that affliction and has the possibility to turn it into a curse.
So either way, it's not a good thing.
Either way, it's not. Either way, it shows that there's some, that the Agni is not always strong, and that there will be health stuff that needs to be addressed.
Okay. So then with Venus being the Day Lord, and Venus being the lord of that eighth house in its own sign.
Yeah.
Does that help to offset anything, or does
of
that
course.
Make the probability?
No, of course, of course, it makes it stronger. I mean, you saw Michael J. Fox. You know, he had not just malefics, but it was in a bad placement and conjunct a Marna Caracas on a planet. You know, all those things start adding up together. So, just like it's in, not only is it in its own sign, it's also conjunct Mercury.
But Mercury's combust, so it's like impotent.
But it's still conjunct Mercury. It's still conjunct the benefic.
Okay.
So that the fact that there's a benefic there is still uplifting.
But it doesn't, there's no like taking away of the curse. It just softens the blow of the curse. The curse is a curse, and the eighth house is an eighth house, and...
Yes, but the eighth house is the eighth house, and a curse is the curse. But there's a difference between having a year where your finances are stolen and having a year where your house gets foreclosed on.
Right, there's bouncing back, and then there's...
But there's differences into the level of things happening. There's getting cervical dysplasia and having a procedure done that takes care of it, and then there's getting, you know, cervical cancer and having the hysterectomy. So there's different levels of everything.
And then also with that possibility as far as, okay, let's just take it as a possibility because we're talking about Venus. And so I guess, you know, we would talk about the reproductive organs in association with Venus.
But Venus is Daylord. And if we look at the seventh house, the reproductive organs are relatively protected with that Jupiter moon there.
But the eighth house, right, is the reproductive.
The eighth house is the things that you don't see.
So then we'll be taking the dashas and then be like, okay, well, that could happen, but most likely under the dasha of Venus.
Yeah, and we're not going to go into predicting now because we haven't covered that yet, but you're looking at dasha and transit.
Okay. All right.
Okay. But, you know, the thing with Panchanga, it's letting us know, okay, I only have this amount of time. Am I going to be looking at the dasha and transits for their finances, or am I going to be looking at the dasha and transits for their health? And so it starts to give us a little bit more specificity of what we're going to spend our time with on a chart. And so Michael J. Fox, we would have wanted to have a conversation with him about his health. For you, we want to have a conversation about the immune system.
Why the immune system specifically?
And so I don't want to go too far off subject, but you have Papa Kartri on the Lagna, and then the planet in charge of the Shukra Dhatu and the Ojas is Venus in the eighth house, afflicted. So that's going to give us, you know, a focus on the immune system.
Okay.
Now, if there was, instead of those malefics on Lagna, if it was Papa Kartri on the 7th and Venus was afflicted, then we'd be looking at reproductive issues. But we're looking at whole body. Like, what's the whole body? What's going to get the whole body? It's the immune system, that Papa Kartri there. And the best thing to fix that Papa Kartri is Shubha Sangha. Hang out with good people.
What's Papa Kartri?
That I do.
We'll get there, but the fact that there's a malefic on both sides of a house hurts the house in the middle of it.
Mm.
And so that means, and if Papa Kartri is on the Lagna or the moon, it means the person is hanging out with the wrong crowd.
Mm.
And that wrong crowd's going to bring them down.
Okay.
So the most important thing when a Papa Kartri on the Lagna or the moon is get some good friends, go hang out at the ashram, stay away from, yes, they're cooler than those other people, and those other people are nerds, and you have more fun with those other guys, that Papa Kartri says, you hang out with them, they might be more fun, but they'll kill you.
Mm.
You know that?
That's so true. And you know what's funny? When we do the karakas, the karaka of my community is Rahu.
Uh-huh.
So that's all in line there.
So it just makes it even harder to avoid them. But you see, I mean, if you don't change Sangha, they'll take you to the grave so much earlier.
Yeah, I see that.
It's right there. All right. So next week, Ian will cover the rest of this. And so the rest of this chapter next week. And so study it good. And then after that, it is on to Bhavapadas. And I think I'll have Ian explain the Bhavapadas, and then I'll do all the looking at them and stuff like that. And Argala, I'll teach. And I think, did we say that you would teach the yogas, Ian? Have we gone this far?
We haven't gone past Argala, yeah.
All right. So Bhavapadas, I'll let you introduce them and explain all that stuff. And then we'll do a bunch of examples where I use them. And I'll teach the Argala chapter, and you got the yoga chapter.
Sounds good.
Oh my gosh, you guys, we're getting through this. And you're gonna, Argala is where it all switches. It turns the fire, Argala lights the fire. And once you get to Argala with me, then all of a sudden your brain gets re-networked. You ever see those like Sri chakras and these mandalas where everything is connecting and there's a million lines?
I don't know, maybe.
Like Sri chakra. Sri Yantra.
Oh, okay, yeah, I know about it.
And there's all those triangles and they're all going.
Yeah.
Or like some of the psychedelic art where they have like circles within circles and lines and
they're
these. And you look at me like, wow. Like, that's what we're going to do to your brain when we go to the Argala chapter.
Perfect.
We're like. All right. So, but it's already all coming together. Do you see how. As we're looking at the Panchanga chapter and we're looking at the health, we're applying all those rules from the strength chapter. So everything that we learned before this, we had to apply. Right? So and the more it's at the tip of your thumbs, you're like, oh, that's in the debilitated sign, oh, and it's Marna Karkastana, but it's aspected by this. And then you can talk about what it means. Mm-hmm. So that's why we took that little break time to kind of go deeper, because now we're using it. We're on.
Activation station.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.